قال الله تبارك وتعالى في القرآن المجيد بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا كلوا من طيبات ما رزقناكم واشكروا لله إن كنتم إياه تعبدون سبحانك وبحمدك لا إله إلا أنت استغفرك وأتوب إليك. الحمد لله. A few weeks ago we discussed the importance of halal income and we had a workshop on the subject of halal income on what necessities need to be in place to ensure that a person's income is halal, what's the importance of mu'amalat in a person's life. And there was a hadith that I mentioned which was very central to this theme, which was Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioning to the sahaba, ayyuhan nas, O people, inna allaha tayyibun la yaqbalu illa tayyiba, Allah is pure and only accepts pure. Allah is pure and only accepts pure. وَإِنَّ اللَّهَ أَمْرَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ بِمَا أَمْرَ بِهِ الْمُرْسَلِينَ Allah commands the believers as He commanded the messengers. And He says, يَا أَيُّهَا الرُّسُلُ كُلُوا مِنَ الطَّيِّبَاتِ وَعَمَلُوا صَالِحًا إِنِّي بِمَا تَعْمَلُونَ عَلِيمٌ That, O messengers, eat from that which is pure and do good, for Allah is all-knowing. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Qur'an has mentioned, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا كُلُوا مِنْ طَيِّبَاتِ مَا رَزَقْنَاكُمْ That eat from the pure things that we have granted you sustenance. From what we've granted you sustenance, eat the pure things of them. Then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in that same hadith, ثُمَّ ذَكَرْ رَجُلَ يُطِيلُ السَّفَرْ أَشْعَثَ أَغْبَرْ That he mentions a person who had a lengthy journey. So some in the commentaries mentioned that it's possible or it seems plausible that this was for Umrah or for Hajj or for some sort of religious endeavor, some sort of religious safar. It was a religious basis for it. Now, despite him traveling on this spiritual journey, يَمُدُّ يَدَيْهِ إِلَى السَّمَاءِ He is raising his hands towards the skies, towards the heavens, and he calls out, يَا رَبِّي يَا رَبِّي O my Lord, O my Lord. وَمَطْعَمُهُ حَرَامٌ وَمَشْرَبُهُ حَرَامٌ His food, however, is impermissible, haram, meaning what he consumes is haram. وَمَشْرَبُهُ حَرَامٌ What he drinks is also haram. وَمَلْبَسُهُ حَرَامٌ What he is wearing is also haram. وَغُذِّيَ بِالْحَرَامِ And he has been nourished through haram means. فَأَنَّا يُسْتَجَابُ لِذَلِكَ The Rasulullah ﷺ then asked rhetorically that how can this dua then be accepted? Meaning if his clothing is haram, his drinking is haram, his food, his clothing, his nourishment has been through haram means, how can his dua be accepted? Meaning the spiritual impact of all of these will impede his dua from being accepted. That's the impact of hilla, of something being halal or haram. Now amongst, though in that hadith when I mentioned it in the context of halal income. But amongst the things that are highlighted in this hadith were food and drink. Now both of these are a great source, are a great bounty from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and where we can survive from it, meaning a person can thrive, that food itself helps, keeps us afloat, keeps us alive, keeps us energized, and at the same time, it's pleasurable. Like, you know, we mentioned that, I'm not saying going out to wee and being extravagant in certain ways, but it's still it's one of those halal entertainments, if we're honest. It's one of those things that we can do, eating. And it can also be rewarding. Now look how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in Surah Abbas that فَلْيَنْضُرِ الْإِنسَانُ إِلَىٰ طَعَامِهِ Let insan look at his food. Meaning once he looks at the food that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created, he can recognize the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and realize the tremendous favors of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then Allah says, أَنَّا صَبَبْنَا الْمَاءَ صَبَّ He explains, أَنَّا صَبَبْنَا الْمَاءَ صَبَّ That we make the rain pour forth in abundance. Meaning the rain nourishes the soil and causes the seeds to germinate and sprout. ثُمَّ شَقَقْنَا الْأَرْضَ شَقَّ Then when the shoots of the seeds start to pierce through the ground, we cause the earth to part into cracks, split to allow the shoots to reach the surface and grow. Allah then says, فَأَنْبَتْنَا فِيهَا حَبَّا Then we allow the earth grains to grow. وَعِنَبًا وَقَطْبًا Grapes and vegetables. وَزَيْتُونًا وَنَخْلًا olives, date palms, dense gardens. fruit, وَفَاكِهَةً وَأَبَّى, fruit and fodder, مَتَاعًا لَكُمْ وَلِأَنْعَامِكُمْ, benefit, as a source of benefit for you and your animals. But look at throughout these, three things that, well, there are many things, but three things I want to highlight over here. One, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asks or invites us to ponder and reflect over the bounties He's given to us. Now think of the whole process. From the rain, to the farmer, to the food that comes to going to the shops, to that which is on our plate. Think of the entire process of this, of the food, what something as simple as what which we consume every daily and multiple times a day. Something as simple as that. Then not only that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's divine plan to make all of this that right in front of you. And additionally, that this is a reminder for you and I, that every time we eat multiple times a day, but this is Allah's bounty in front of us. It's a reminder, a constant reminder. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as I mentioned in that hadith, that وَمَطْعَمُهُ haram, that the person's food is haram, his clothing is haram, and his drinking is also haram. Now that individual, how is the dua going to be accepted? Meaning that this food that we have, it can either, it's a bounty, which can be a source of blessings. If a person has the right intentions, and I'll explain, then it becomes rewarding for him. But if he has the wrong intentions, it becomes something which is spiritually destructive. It becomes spiritually destructive where not only is he impacted, but his children also, وَخُذِيَ بِالْحَرَامِ, because they're being nourished through haram means. What they're consuming is haram, so their spirituality will die. Their spirituality will diminish. Now, I mentioned like the different branches of faith, mu'amalat, mu'asharat. You know, one of the branches of mu'asharat, of social interactions, and of one of the first chapters, Imam Nawawi, one great, great scholar of the past, 7th century, he brings the food first. He brings food first. He mentions that first as part of social, as part of that. Now, Rasulullah Ali Wasallam describes the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, that there's one Sahabi that he used to eat significant amounts. Then suddenly he stopped and he's far more simple. The Sahaba radiallahu anhum looked at this and they were questioning, how is he suddenly eating an extremely trivial less amounts. So Rasulullah then explained that the believer eats with one intestine, whereas the disbeliever eats with seven. Now that's not literal. That's not to say that they'll have seven intestines within them, but it's metaphorical to say that a believer is purposeful and he is saturated with less. Meaning he's got purpose. He's not eat, his life isn't eat, drink, sleep and repeat. That's not a believer's life. And one part how we can explain this is, in the Quran Allah says, وَالَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا يَتَمَتَّعُونَ وَيَأْكُلُونَ كَمَا تَأْكُلُ الْأَنْعَامُ وَالنَّارُ مَثْوًى لَهُمْ, that those who disbelieve, they eat and they take benefit, meaning pleasures, etc., just like animals take benefit. However, Jahannam is their abode. Now, look at the parallel over here. The disbeliever and the animals. Now, humans have the intellect. And that's what differentiates us from the animals. But despite that, Allah describes them and places them in the same category as animals. Why? Because of purpose. Every time you and I eat, we eat with purpose. We eat to know that we're going to be energized to fulfill our responsibilities, which include family, which include Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which includes, as part of huquq al-ibad, family, etc. But we are going to discharge this responsibility which we have. And it's purposeful. That's the difference, it's purposeful. And that's what makes something as from ada into ita'ah. How can the mundane become spiritually empowering? That's the difference, and that's all with intention. Now, I'll break down the chapter of eating before concluding, that to provide an overview of how can we spiritually safeguard ourselves, in fact, spiritually build ourselves through our food, through consumption. How can we do that? I'll break it down into a few domains. But number one, into food properties. The food itself. Not you, but the food itself. Number one, how I explain that is, one, it's within the food, and number two, outside of the food. Number one, the food itself needs to be halal. Meaning, it's not pork, no insects, no donkeys, no un-Islamically slaughtered animals, meaning it's not mechanically slaughtered. Again, this is a major subject. We don't have time to go through this. It's a short talk. But inshallah, sometime we'll have a seminar on this, on mechanically slaughtered meat, etc. How is that impermissible? And how do we need to be very particular when about the meat we bring into our homes? But number one, first condition is the food itself needs to be halal. And again, another point on this is even when we're buying certain foods, making sure that they don't have certain ingredients. E120, checking these out, making sure that they're not from carmine, etc. Nothing that from insects or extracted from impermissible sources. No pests, etc. I would have, inshallah, a whole separate talk on what the fiqh of halal food, the whole what is allowed and what isn't allowed. But this is just an overview that number one, making sure the food itself is halal. Number two, this is a bit intrinsic, but ownership. Making sure that the food that's being provided is owned. What I mean by that is, if something is purchased through haram means, you don't have ownership of it. So interest money is not your money, because you don't have ownership of it, because it's haram. Any that which is haram wealth, you do not have ownership of. So if something is purchased through impermissible means, that's not yours, because it's not yours, that wealth wasn't yours, you do not have ownership of the item. So that food which is then being consumed is impermissible because you do not have ownership of it. Now, extension to this, when you are given a da'wah or you are going to be invited, make sure that the person that's inviting you, at the very minimum, majority of his income is from halal sources. If it's not, it's not permissible, according to the Hanafis especially, to consume that food. So the primary, number one, needs to be made sure that the food, the person who's giving the da'wah, that his primary or the majority of his income from halal sources. Or two, the food that he's giving to you is only from his permissible wealth. So that's number one, the domain about the property of the food itself. Now, second domain is about the laws of consumption. As I mentioned, the food can be rewarding and spiritually build us and empower us, or it can be destructive. Number one, fard. What's the fard amount that we need to eat? Majority of us will be doing that anyway, but it's enough to keep you alive. If a person decides that he's going to become such a zahid, he's going to be such an ascetic, somebody who's going to denounce the world and he's not going to consume food, and he kills himself in the process, that will be impermissible, because as he's done that which is haram, the fard amount that he needs to consume is that which keeps him alive. His back, ma yuqimu sulbah, that keeps his back straight, his back remains straight. The ma'jur alayh, what's the rewarding type of food? What's the rewarding amount? That the amount that will keep you energized to fulfill your responsibilities and your worship. If you eat that amount, where you're going to be energized, and you're going to fulfill your ibadat, your worship, your responsibilities, you're energized in general, that's the rewarding amount. Now the reason why I'm highlighting this is, we do this anyway. But when we have this intention within us, it just becomes spiritually empowering. Then you have the third category, which is the permissible. Now, this is where you eat, but it doesn't weaken you. Meaning you eat to your fill. You eat to your fill, which is allowed, borderline, it's allowed. But it doesn't weaken you. If you eat to the level where it then makes you lethargic, meaning you eat, you consume, and that's it. Now you're going to hit the bistro, you're going to go onto the bed, and you can't do anything else. That's impermissible. So the permissible amount is that if you eat to your fill, but you do not become lethargic, meaning you still are able to do what you need to do. Now, this is where we're going to the other domain of when it becomes impermissible. If a person eats beyond his fill, where he becomes lethargic and complacent now, that food is now destructive for him, it's no longer constructive, then that food, that amount that he's consumed, is impermissible. Because number one, it's idaa'atun lil mal, it's a waste, it's wastefulness, it's israf. And two, it's unhealthy, both reasons. Unhealthy, so that another point to mention on that is, the things which harm are also not allowed to be consumed. But I want to focus on the other part of wastefulness, about israf. Israf is a devilish trait. It's of the shaitani thing, إِنَّ الْمُبَذِرِينَ كَانُوا إِخْوَانَ الشَّيَاطِينَ, that the being wasteful is a characteristic, or the a shared characteristics of the devils, let's put it simply. Now, in regards to wastefulness, throughout the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, كُلُوا وَشْرَبُوا وَلَا تُسْرِفُوا, eat and drink. And then directly after, he mentions, but do not be extravagant. Deen is about moderation. And I showed the fard level, the rewarding level, and even the permissible level. That you can go and, For us, obviously, we're not going to go and do other things, but food can be permissible entertainment in a certain way, so long as we're not eating extreme amounts. So we can eat to our fill. So there is that level. But to go beyond moderation and to wastefulness is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala dislikes. And he mentions, إِنَّهُ لَا يُحِبُّ الْمُسْرِفِينَ. Allah dislikes those who are extravagant. And being deprived of that love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala means to be devoid of tranquility within a person's life. That peace, that solace won't be in that individual's life. I'll give you an example. Looking at the reports, in 2021 in Scotland, over a million tons of food and drink were wasted. Now that meant in 2020, that household food wastage was about £1.1 billion equivalent. That's enough to end poverty over here. That's the amount of waste. Not only that, these are not just businesses. The contributions from households were 59%. So we're not talking businesses, we're not talking about supermarkets. Household wastage was constituted 59% of the wastage. And in Glasgow alone, it was 50,000 tons. Glasgow alone. So that's the household damage, and that's what israf, that's extravagance. Remember, eating within moderation, it's not being wasted, is permissible, as I mentioned that. So long as it's not causing harm to yourself, it's not unhealthy one, and two, it's not being wasted. Then it goes into the impermissible domain, that goes into what you want to do. So you can consume. But going into this is to be unappreciative of the bounty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, I'll focus on one hadith if I conclude. That Rasulullah ﷺ was such that he encouraged in this hadith about cleaning the plate. And he highlights about making sure that nothing goes to waste. He mentions that Rasulullah ﷺ, إِذَا أَكَلَ طَعَامًا لَا يَقَى أَصَابِعُهُ ثَلَاثٌ. Rasulullah ﷺ would eat with three fingers. But when he would eat and he would finish, he would lick those three fingers. Mentions that إِذَا سَقَطَ لُقْمَةُ أَحَدِكُمْ فَلْيُمِطْ عَنْهَا الْأَذَى وَلْيَأْكُلْهَا. That if a morsel falls, and obviously there's going to be a dastakhan, so it's not going to become dirty, whatever is there, remove it and consume it. And the plate, clean the plate. وَأَمَرَنَا أَنْ نَسْوَثَ قَصْعَ. That we clean it. And he mentioned after that, فَإِنَّكُمْ لَا تَدْرُونَ فِي أَيِّ طَعَمِكُمُ الْبَرَكَةِ. That you don't know in which morsel, which part of your food has Allah placed barakah in there. You have no idea. But in all these three elements, it's all preventing even trivial amounts of wastefulness. The thing that's amount on the fingers, that's there. That won't be wasted. The amount that's left over on the plate won't be wasted. That which is on the dasturkhan won't be wasted. Again, highlighting the importance of moderation and being appreciative. Now, what can we do? Number one, don't overshop and overcook. It happens that sometimes, we make plenty of food and it goes off and we have to throw it away. Number one, start off with that not overcooking and not overshopping. Number two, preserve leftovers. It doesn't have to be that, make fresh food every day where if we had this food, then we throw it away and that's it. Or if we have leftovers, then we find there are plenty of locations where we can give the food to others that don't have it. There are plenty of people that we can find and give it to. Teach this to the children. Especially even when I was in Canada, one of my, the president that was there, he had a takeaway. And the additional food he'd have left over, he'd make it into boxes, and we'd go out in the evenings, and go to the locations and go and give it to them. And he would do that every day, saying that this is additional food we have left over, so let's go. And we used to go and do that on different occasions. But he would do that with his family also, to try and teach them the idea of moderation and ensuring that wastefulness isn't there. This is not something that our family does. It's not something a believer does. So teaching that to the family, teaching that, embodying that. And as I mentioned, that it's unappreciative to throw away that food. Respecting that food that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us by ensuring that one point you mentioned over here that the scholars in fiqh write that if the food can't be consumed by us anymore, then at least give it to certain animals. Give it to the animals wherein it can be used for something where it's still purposeful, but it's not wasted. Avoid wastefulness in every scenario. And I mentioned that, we always hold da'wahs and gatherings. Hold simple gatherings. doesn't have to be you have, you know, a three-course meal and multiple things of dasturkhan. If it's, keep simplicity there, keep it there, but ensure that we remain within the limits of our religion. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all true understanding and tawfiq.